A couple announcements for you. Hey, this last week we kicked off with a whole bunch of our ministries here at the church. And so if you have a bulletin, everything on the gray side is just things that are going on during the week. And so you'll want to just pay attention to that. Get involved in one of those things. If you don't see something there that you can get involved in, then guess what? Come talk to me about the next thing you're going to start to help people get involved with you. All right? Good job. There you go.
We want to thank everyone.
Thank.
I say that weird. thank. We would like to thank everyone for filling out all the prayer requests last week. This is just the prayer requests. This isn't the people that filled out and gave us information. It's actually twice as thick when we add up everyone that wanted to correct and make sure we had the right information, plus the prayer request. There's a few missing in here that were just for Pastor Seth, because as you know, or maybe you don't know, and I'm leading into telling you, is there are 3x5 cards. These ones were 4x6. We've now changed to 3x5. Every week will be different. It's going to be 2x1 next week. No.
Right, very small.
Yeah. But you can pull those out. If you want to update information, write that on there. If you would like to do a prayer request, write that on there. And you can designate for Seth's eyes only, and he will be the one praying for you. But I'm excited because as a staff on Thursday, 40 minutes of prayer, I think, 45 yeah. minutes of prayer. We broke these into thirds, and every single one was personally prayed for. And then we passed them on to the prayer team, and they were personally prayed for. And I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about it.
So you should be right now for this week. Remember, what we're going to start doing is, as you fill out those prayer requests, you can either just drop them in the offering plate as it goes by you, or there's a connection box as you leave that's just on the information center. And just please drop your prayer request in there. And so I should be seeing a lot of you grabbing them right now. Go ahead, grab the one in front of you. Okay, because here's what I think about, all right? I was thinking hard about this. If you can't come up with one thing that you need prayer about, then I'm not so sure that you need God this week, right? Wow. Every single one of us do. Every single one of us need to think about, how do I give something of my life over to God? Because if you can't think of something to give to him, then essentially you're saying, hey, I don't need Jesus this week. And we're a church that believes that we need Jesus every single day. And so, hey, please be filling it out. Please, absolutely. We want to pray for you. I know that sounded really harsh, but
I feel reprimanded.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Thanks. I'm just passionate about it because it was so much fun.
In an encouraging way, what Seth's trying to say is, please, we want to pray for you as a staff, as pastors here. I think it's going to help us be more involved as a family, even more so than when we were doing prayer and share and passing the microphone around. This is way more than used to stand up. And if we did this is all the church service would be. And so we want to make sure that we're praying for you. And try to figure out something. If you don't know what to write, have that be your prayer request. I don't know what to say to God. That would be a great one. So whatever it may be.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I know that's your heart behind it. And I do feel reprimanded, but I feel better now.
Thanks. Great. Now I'm going to think about that all day.
Just kidding.
All right. Hey, one last announcement before I ask you guys is, as you know, we're going to start going into full swing into the fencing project that Tony Fast is kind of spearheading. And so here's the deal. Last week we said that there is a sign-up sheet in back. Hey, and we got a couple responses from that. But what we're asking you to do is, if you have any time whatsoever, a day or even a weekend, one of the things that Tony and Travis have been talking about is, as they're going and doing perimeters, what they're mainly doing is perimeters of farmers' land. And so then at the same time, we can be helping two farmers out as we're going along. And so Tony made this phenomenal machine in which they can actually pound posts all week long, and then we just need somebody to come in on Fridays and Saturdays and just kind of tighten the wires up and put the clips on. And so if you and the machine actually unrolls all four rolls at one time, and so really it's just, hey, putting on the wire and clipping, and that's kind of what we need. And so
marking,
you can do that.
Marking
yeah,
too.
Somebody just can
How
walk
How old do you
along.
Have to be to do this, Seth?
Hey, I have a family that's looking at going in middle of October, and their youngest one is 2 years old. And so, and how old do you have to be? Maury Graham's 93. And so I'm sure he'll do it too. So, yeah.
You just voluntold
Maury. Yeah, I just voluntold Maury to do it. Yeah.
What gender do you have to be?
It's not gender specific.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
That was a really long thought. I thought that was going to be a quick answer of none. You can be male or female and come help work with fences. And it's easy. I'm saying that having not ever done any fencing, but I've watched some people fence, and I've been told it's really easy, and maybe they're trying to trick us all into doing it. But marking it, you just carry a shovel around that already has a marks, and you mark all the poles where the wire needs to be tied on. Tying on, you can cut stuff. Yes, we can have people all the way down to toddler size coming and helping and doing stuff. My heart, I'm going to be you in the last announcement now. I'm going to be you. And so some reprimanding. We shared this on Facebook, and I totally appreciate everyone that also shared. It was actually the most viewed post the church has ever had. Over 5,000 people viewed the post as of this morning, and 36 shares, which is pretty big for just little small town Glasgow. That's more people than are in Glasgow. In the post, it recommends that you message the page if you'd like to help. We got zero messages. 5,000 people viewed, and zero people willing to let God interrupt their life. And so I'm praying this next week, as we move closer to doing this, that more people will allow the Holy Spirit, God, to act in their life so that we can go reach people right in our own home state.
Yeah, just pick a weekend, pick a day even, just says, hey, I just want to be able to do this. It's something that we think will speak volumes for years and years to come. You know, one farmer that we talked to said the only thing that he's concerned about is that his son isn't going to learn how to do hard labor. But one of the things is that this fencing project will teach him that somebody cared and was willing to come. And so that speaks volumes for years and years to come. And so if you can even spare a day, hey, talk to Tony. He's right back there. And so talk to him. And like I said, if you don't feel like, you don't have to go, that's okay. But speak, just be talking about it. Man, I've been talking and talking and talking to tons of people this week about, hey, what if you think about it like this? What if you think about it like that? And so just be challenging people around you and go from there. So are there any other announcements this morning that you guys have?
I'm Mary Christensen, and every year we have a ladies' Christmas program, and it's the first Tuesday of December. And we need people who are willing to help or share music and are any of your talents. There's lots of new people in church, so if you have a special talent or any talent, just get a hold of myself or Bertie Larson. Bertie, would you stand up? So if you have any ideas, let us know. And then next Sunday after church, whoever's interested, we're gonna meet for about 15 minutes right after church to just talk about what we're going to do for the Christmas program. Thank you.
No.
Hi, I brought some tomatoes, little ones and big steak tomatoes from our garden, because God has really blessed us triple this year with, we live in Hinsdale. My name is Evelyn, and right across the street from us is a school, and we've been giving them a lot of our veggies, but I still have a lot of tomatoes, and I'll be coming up with a lot of squash and all other kind of stuff pretty soon. And pumpkins and all that, but I brought tomatoes in the foyer. Please take them, okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Free tomatoes in the back.
Oh, and also Arlene, letting you know, Arlene is out of the hospital and in a recovery home. So she's doing better. I just let her husband talk.
Hey, Arlene is hurting quite a bit. She just moved to rehab. And, of course, maybe all of you don't know, she broke her hip and her wrist at the same time. So it's been a heck of a row for her. Anyhow, we'd appreciate your prayers for her. She's in the rehab.
Thanks.
Yeah, one of the problems Arlene has is that she was a school principal, and she's used to telling people what to do, and now other people are telling her what to do. So please pray for her.
Julie Lawson here. In your bulletin, there isn't an announcement, which is why I'm standing up, about Tuesday night Bible study. We're starting this Tuesday, September 12th, at 7 o'clock. And we're going to go through David Platt's teaching on the overview of the Old Testament, the overview of the New Testament, and how to study the Bible. That will be for 9 weeks. And the cool thing about this is there's no homework. So y'all can come and join us to learn about the whole of God's Word. And that will last until mid-November, and then we'll start our in-depth study of the book of Romans. Let me know if you plan to come so I can copy material for you.
Amy Fast here. I have two announcements. It's crazy that we're thinking about Christmas already. Virginia Runner and I are putting together the kids' Christmas program again this year. And so kiddos, be looking out. The first Sunday of October, we'll start practice after church. So if you're interested, just show up. We're excited to have you. Any children from 5 years old up to sixth grade, we would love to have you. Also alongside that, we also do something for the 3 and 4 year olds, and we need a mother or father or grandfather, grandmother, someone that is willing to step up and lead our 3 and 4 year olds. It's really simple. I kind of have everything already put together. I just need you to kind of manhandle the little ones, because I'll be busy with the bigger ones. So let me know if that's something you'd be willing to do, if it's on your heart at all. Second announcement is, in here it talks about the all-church baby shower, Sunday, September 24th, the last Sunday of the month. I sent out an email this week through the church, and I just want to tell you the mothers and babies that are involved in this so that you know who they are. But if you didn't get the email, see me or these little cards, the 2x1 cards that Seth talked about, fill it out with your email address and put it in the church office, and we'll get you added into the email. But Austin Ryan and her son Wyatt, Kimberly Wilson and her son Jack, Brandy Komrosky, and Father DJ right here, he won't be at the shower, he could maybe, I don't know. But their daughter Aurora and his mother, the grandmother Diane Sargent, Mary Baumgartner and her son Larry, and Zoe Campbell and her son Tobias. So I would love for you guys to join us. Also, if you're willing to help out with the shower, whether it's food, devotional, set up, clean up, see me, because I would love the extra hands. It just makes it go a little faster. So, thank you.
Thanks. Good morning. I'm Rob. I've got a couple of announcements. One, a quick one, Life Changers. If you don't know who Rob is with the no texting, that's me. So if you have any questions, we are still meeting every Tuesday. Every other Monday, we have Blockheads. I see Nate over there. If you don't know what Blockheads is, it's a bunch of guys getting together, meeting, and working on vehicles. And if you need a vehicle worked on, please see Nate or myself on that. And then one announcement that Seth isn't aware of yet, but I'm going to tell him now. We're going to be putting up some holes for our Frisbee golf course that we've been designing out back tomorrow. And if anyone wants to help at 8 o'clock, put in some. We have 9 holes to put up. I would gladly take the help. You can talk to me and maybe Seth on that one.
Sure. Brad, Virginia, I guess. I got a lot today. Sorry, I didn't mean I guess.
Calling all ladies of the church. Again, Friends of Kyla Burns are putting on her a baby shower. If you'd like more information, that is back at the information center. Thank you.
You're in so much trouble.
All right, are there
Yeah, just please leave. Thank you. I do love when we get to transition into prayer, because the one thing that we know about Sunday mornings is that it's really all about God and nothing about us. It's about coming and being able to say, God, you are my God, and I am not, and being able to lay things down at his feet. And so, hey, we really covet your giving us those prayer requests so that we can pray for them. And so would you just pray with me as we pray over things and pray over this morning? And then we're going to go right into a baptism video. We, a couple weeks ago, got to baptize seven people. And it was just a great opportunity to share with you their desire that they would be recognized with Christ, that they would be dead to their sins and come anew. And so we're going to watch that video, and then we'll continue into worship. And so would you pray with me? God, if there's one thing I know about you is that you are constantly working on the hearts of people. That God, you are bringing us one step closer. You're working on our behalf. You've got a plan, and you've been working it, and you're creating new hearts, and you're creating opportunities for people to step out in faith in you, to step out in faith and love one another. And God, it's just apparent even by all of these announcements, Lord, we know that you've called us as a church to be in one another's lives and to help one another grow and to share life. And God, whether that's through fencing or whether that's using our talents to share with other people, and even the ability to just get together around celebrations. And so God, with all the things going on, Lord, I would pray that it would be for you and for your glory, not for ours. God, in these prayer requests that we got this week, there are people who are fervently praying for friends to come to Christ. God, I would pray that you would intervene in those situations. God, we have people who are dealing with illnesses, who are dealing with broken bodies, and we need your healing to come and to touch and to guide. And there are people who are just asking you to step in areas of their lives and planning and in preparation and transitions. And God, they desire to give you glory. Because God, we can be patient on all things. We can know that you've got a plan and that we can wait for you. God, there are people who are asking prayer for friends they know that are devastated by hurricanes and devastated by the fires. And God, sometimes it can look like a pretty bleak outlook, but we know that you have conquered all things. We know that you are guiding and directing, that in you we have new life, in you we find our purpose and our being, in you we find our hope, in you we find our ability to become new creatures. And so God, as we continue on in worship and continue on in reading your word, Lord, I would pray that we could give you the glory and worship you this day. In your holy name we pray, amen. I'll ask the ushers to come forward and we'll take our morning offering, and then please enjoy the video.
Take all I have in these hands and multiply.
Kirkland, can I ask you why you want to be baptized today?
altar again, set me on fire.
I want to set me on fire. I could show other people.
To show other people that you follow Christ.
Yeah. Oh, that I am and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire. Oh, set me on fire. Here I am, God. Arms
wide open. Be who Jesus wants you to be.
A life gracefully broken. My heart stands in awe of your name, your mighty love.
I want to be baptized today because I feel like that's what God is calling me to do. And I want to live my life in Him. Reborn.
You will be with me. Here I am, God, arms wide open. Oh, pouring out.
Marilyn, why do you want to be baptized today?
I want to be reborn, and
live
my life
for
Christmas.
Here I am, God.
Why are you choosing to be baptized today?
Because I want to show people that I'm a believer and that Jesus Christ is my Savior.
All to Jesus now. All to Jesus now. Holding nothing back.
Mike, why are you choosing to be baptized today?
That's what God wants me to do.
He has said one of the things is that he's never had the Bible come more alive to him than this year. Just reading through Foundations and looking at Christ calling him to live more fervently for him and desiring that. And that's what he wants from you guys, is to be able to come alongside him and continue to encourage him and guide him.
Please be seated.
Hey, if you are 3 years old to third grade, you can head on out of here if you'd like. Grab your buddy and start heading out. And for those of you who are with me here, we are going to head on over to Luke today. We've been going through probably about the last 7 weeks. We've been deciding, hey, we're going to go through the Gospels, and we're going to look at not so much who Jesus is or what it reveals to Jesus about Jesus, but more or less what Jesus said, and looking at how the gospel changes our lives through what Jesus said. And so we are actually starting in Luke today, is our first Sunday. And so, hey, a couple weeks ago I said we need to remind you guys what each book is about and all of that. And so if you don't know much about Luke, here's kind of a quick overview for you about Luke. Luke is really concerned about his friend called Theophilus, all right? And the better yet term of Theophilus is just a lover of God. And so, hey, if you are a lover of God, this book is for you. Or if you're searching out God, this book is for you. Because what Luke does really well is Luke is concerned about showing you who the perfect Savior is and the grace that comes from Jesus. And so, in fact, actually, in 1:3, he doesn't say much about himself, except for he says this. He says, I've been a close observer. I've been walking through this craziness of this guy Jesus walking around saying, I'm the Messiah. And so he's been a close observer about what's going on. And he decides, hey, I just need to be a good historian and write all of this stuff down. And so through that, we get to see an amazing picture from Luke of his accuracy. He has great writing skills. In fact, actually, if you are a scholar and you know how to read Greek really well, you would say he has perfect grammar, right? He knows which words to use in the right spot and all of that sort of stuff. And so a lot of people, especially the Greeks, looked at his writing as, hey, this is a well-trained person who is speaking clearly and truthfully to us. And so his whole entire point is to reason with the Greek culture and painting a full picture of Jesus, life, death, and resurrection. And he just does a great job of reasoning. And so as we go through this book, I want you to just see this kind of fluid writer who's just really trying to help us understand this is who Jesus is, this is why he is the Messiah, and here are the things that came out of his mouth. And it starts right away, actually, way before even Jesus comes on the scene. And so we're going to open up our Bibles to Luke chapter 1, and we are going to be reading today verse 67 through 79. And so this is actually a prophecy from Zechariah. And Zechariah is John the Baptist's dad. And so here's what happens. Some of you guys have heard this story from me before, is an angel comes to Elizabeth and says, you're going to have a child. And Elizabeth's like, that's crazy talk. And so then Zechariah is told that he's going to be called, his name is going to be called John the Baptist. And then from then on, after Zechariah gets this vision or this visitation from an angel, actually he can't talk for a whole 10 months. And then John the Baptist is born. And they start talking about what's the name of this child going to be, what's the name of this child going to be. And then he sits there and he says, his name is going to be John the Baptist. And all of a sudden his mouth is opened, and out of this comes what's called in some of our Bibles the Zechariah's prophecy. prophecy. And so I'm going to read it because I think this is a pretty phenomenal piece of scripture that in terms of the gospel, I for a long time have kind of skipped over. And so if you'll read it with me, here we go. And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to give our feet into the way of peace." Would you pray with me? God, as we open up your word today, I pray that we would learn, that we would be guided and directed, that our hearts would desire you more, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us in ways that we just previously haven't. And so God, as we dive into this, Lord, would you speak and would you move? In your holy name I pray, amen. If you have your sermon notes, you can flip to the back of your bulletin and you'll see that the title is the hardest part to come with a sermon. And so I titled this, The Holy Spirit Shares the Gospel. The Holy Spirit shares the gospel. And one of the things we know is that if God is the creator of the gospel, and Jesus is the gospel personified, I would have to say that the Holy Spirit is the one that's continually sharing it with everybody in their hearts, continually proclaiming the gospel. The question then becomes, first one is maybe what is the gospel? And we're going to go into that a little bit. But more or less, my next question that I had to ask was, have you ever heard the Holy Spirit in your life? Yeah, there are some of us who, by the way, just to let you know, if you've ever read any of this part right here, it's called a Bible, you've heard the Holy Spirit, okay? Some of us would say that it's that still small voice in us going, hey, this isn't right. This isn't correct. What you are doing, you need to change. Some of us call that a conscience, right? But I would have to say, no, a conscience comes from actually our desire to do what's right. Okay, and so maybe some of us have grown up in that. We've learned the Bible, and so now we've kind of opened our heart to the morality of the Bible. And then there are some of us who have just flat out heard the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Some of you, I don't know what that looks like, right? For some of us, when we've talked to people, it's the own voice in our head. Right? I've had conversations in my head that I've gone, that cannot be me, right? Because that sounds way too smart. I could never come up with that on my own, right? Or I've been in conversation with Brian and he says something really brilliant and he says, I have to tell you, that's from the Holy Spirit, not from me. And I said, I know. It was brilliant. There are other times where I've literally only one time flat out actually heard the voice of God in an argument with him. And it's so funny, as I was sitting up here watching the baptism video, I was literally tearing up because that was the moment where I definitely knew that I had heard the voice of God, the Holy Spirit in my life. And I was, and some of you have heard this as part of my testimony, but I was at a camp with 30 junior high students, and I was in a tent with them, and the kids were getting baptized like crazy that week. I'm telling you, like, driest speaker in the world, kids were getting baptized. And one kid one night, as we were just about to fall asleep, right, Taylor asked this question. I still remember his name. Taylor asked this question. Hey, Seth, have you ever been baptized? And I said, no, Taylor, I've never been baptized. And he goes, well, why not? And I kind of mentioned to him what I kind of tell all of our people when they go into baptism is it is not what saves us. Baptism doesn't magically get you into heaven. It doesn't do anything for us in terms of, hey, I am now saved. Baptism actually gets us to the point in which we want to share in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so anyway, this was my stupid answer to him. I said, well, I don't believe it's essential to the faith. It doesn't save me. And he said, yeah, but it really tells all of us that you want to be a Christian. And so I looked at him and I just said, Taylor, go to bed. I did not want to get into it. And so that was the first time that I've probably heard the voice of God through a seventh grader, right? And so that next night, I'm walking around, and man, I just hear this voice saying, man, why not get baptized? Why not get baptized? And so I remember the exact place and moment I was at Beartooth Mountain Christian Ranch. It's now called BCC. But anyway, I'm sitting behind the chapel in darkness because it gets really dark up there. And the stars are just right, like you could touch them. And so as I'm walking around, I just hear God's voice just saying, why not get baptized? Why not get baptized? And I said, because I've already given my heart to you. I'm already yours. What more could you want? I want you to get baptized. I said, but no, if I go and get baptized, then what I said to everybody else the night before is not going to be, it's going to make me look weird, right? Like, oh, now he's just doing this. And so I came up with all these excuses. And this is when I heard a completely different voice than I've ever heard before. I go, God, what do you want from me? And I heard him say, I want you to get baptized. I said, I don't know if I can do that. And he said, then you don't love me. And so I had to, at that moment, go, fine, I have to give you everything then. So I get baptized, and that night, and I had 30 kids dogpile on top of me, right? Because they were all excited. And the next day, as I'm walking around, my youth pastor finally comes up to me and says, well, I think you're ready now. And I'm like, ready for what? Right? And he goes, well, you're ready to be my intern. And so anyway, now we go down the road. There are some of you in this room who have definitely heard the voice of God in your life saying, I am real. Walk with me. There are some of you are in this room who have maybe just gone, man, I think that's maybe God's voice. I think. And so I want to go through with you today about what does that look like? And maybe how can you hear the gospel shared to you by the Holy Spirit? And how does that look like? And today is going to be actually a pretty quick broad stroke overview of how I think that the Holy Spirit can be sharing the gospel with you and with others. And it comes right out of this prophecy, because the very first thing that it says in 67 is, and his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, and then he went for it. There's other verses like first, I'm going to butcher this all these times, 1 Thessalonians 1:5 that says this, because of our gospel came to you not simply with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. The Holy Spirit is the one constantly drawing us to the gospel over and over again. John 6:44 says this. It says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up in the last days. man, God is consistently drawing us to him. And how does he do that? And literally, it's through the Holy Spirit over and over again. And so if you're still with me and you want to write down the first note is this, is that the Holy Spirit reveals to us the influence of the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Spirit reveals to us the influence of the Holy Scriptures. Man, if you've been sitting in here going, man, maybe I haven't heard the voice of God before, man, start reading the Scriptures. Start letting it sink into your heart. In fact, actually, man, some of us just go, no, I'll stick with the New Testament. But when it talks about the Holy Scriptures, it's absolutely everything. This whole entire book, Bible, consistently is always pointing towards the person who is in the middle of the Bible, and that's Jesus Christ. Always consistently going back. In fact, 68:68-73 of this passage says this: Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has visited and redeemed his people. He's been doing that for years. He's the God of Israel. And he raised up a horn of salvation for us. He's been continually, I mean, these are all allusions back to the Old Testament, a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, which is in the Old Testament once again, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we shall be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us. And then it stops there because we're going to get to it. Man, all along, the Holy Spirit, the Bible has been pointing to Jesus, going, you've got to read this whole thing to understand it. Let it sink in. In fact, actually, there's a great video I'm going to show you about a Jewish man who his whole life grew up only reading the Old Testament and not knowing what's going on and what's happening. And I want you to watch the transition that happens as he understands how the whole entire Scriptures come together. Would you show that for us?
Here's what you need to do. You've got to first shave your head. You dress all in black. You've got to wear a white robe, eat only kosher foods. You've got to become a vegetarian. You face Jerusalem. You've got to face India when you pray. You pray only in Hebrew, and you grow a nice big beard. And if you do all of those outward cultural things, you'll discover the God of the universe. And I'm thinking, this is crazy that someone thinks that they can force their culture on God and that God's going to be impressed by what you wear, what direction you face when you pray, what you eat, and all these sorts of things. It seemed to me that if there was a God out there who could be known, he should be able to be recognized no matter where I face, no matter how I'm dressed, because he's God. Growing up, we always understood that we had our Bible and the Gentiles had their Bible, the New Testament, and that they were two completely separate books. Because the only people I knew who were believers in Jesus were all people in our public school who were Italian Catholic, I imagined that Jesus was Italian. And so the understanding that he's actually Jewish was a shock. And then to hear that the New Testament was written by Jews, I couldn't believe it. My expectation was that the New Testament was like my grandparents had told me. It was a book on how to persecute the Jews, and it's something you should stay away from. Of course, when you're told you should stay away from something, curiosity gets the best of you, and you've got to see it. When I opened the New Testament, I was expecting to find a handbook on how to persecute the Jews. My grandparents had warned me that it was written by people who killed the Jews. That's what I was expecting to see, and yet when I'm opening it, I'm reading a story written by Jews about Jewish people. The New Testament was a fascinating book. And so as I opened this book in the library, I kind of looked around, made sure that none of my friends had seen me taking a Christian Bible off the shelf. And I opened it, here's the first sentence. It says, "This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So three people are mentioned, and they're all Jewish. I was very shocked. And as I continue to read, I'm reading the story of a Jewish man who was born in a Jewish village, in a Jewish country, and one day walks into a synagogue and announces that he is the Messiah. The more I read the words of Jesus, the more I became attracted to him. It was as beautiful as anything I had ever read in any other part of the Bible. As I came to faith that Yeshua, that Jesus was the Messiah, it was clear that that was the most Jewish thing I could do. This is not the person who's a renegade to our people. This is the one who was promised in our Bible, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. It is astonishing. If you would just read that chapter, just without the Bible being around it, you would say, oh, this is some Christian Bible. This is Jesus. When you realize, though, that it's in the middle of our Bible, our Jewish Bible. When I first came to faith, I dared not tell my father, because this is a time period in the 1970s when there were lots of gurus and cults, and he was very concerned about me getting involved in some crazy sect and going off someplace. So I waited for months, and when I finally told him, he was very skeptical. On his own then, he started to read about Jesus as well. About a year and a half later, I told him that the fellow who wrote one of the books that he had read, that this fellow was giving a lecture in the city in New York, and he agreed to come out to hear that person. And one of the most amazing moments of my life was, the speaker said, would everyone here who is a Jewish believer in Jesus, would you raise your hand? And I raised my hand. My father also raised his hand. And I looked over and said, Pop, he didn't say would all the Jews raise their hand. He said, would all the Jewish believers in Jesus raise their hand? And my father looked over and he said, yes, I heard what he said. The decision to come to faith in Jesus as the Messiah was not something that was a momentary lark. It wasn't something that was a passing fad. And I could see changes in myself that I knew were not from within myself. I had kind of tapped in to a truth for our Jewish people that was very powerful.
The Holy Spirit reveals the truth in the Gospels, the influence of the Holy Scriptures that's consistently pointing to the Gospel over and over again. You've read it. You've seen it. Now follow it. But then what he said to that point at the end was, as I began to allow these Scriptures and the truth of what I'm seeing, something started to happen. Something started to change. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17 says this. It says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Man, the Holy Scriptures, right there. If you say that you've, man, never heard the Holy Spirit, I mean, as you read Scriptures, may you start to realize that that is God speaking to you. But then as you do that, the second part of this, as you're still taking notes, comes into play, and it's this, is that the Holy Spirit reveals to us the redemption of Christ. We talked about this a little bit last week, that, man, we see everything going on in our world, and we should be suggesting that this doesn't surprise us. Because we already know in our hearts that there's something wrong. There's something wrong with our world. There's something wrong with us. And as we begin to read the scriptures, we begin to realize that there's only one thing that has the ability to save us. It's the redemption of Jesus Christ. In verses 74 and 75 of Zechariah's prophecy, he says this. This is the redemption right here, that we being delivered from the hand of our enemies. I'm just going to plug in there, parentheses, whatever is going on in your heart right now, whether you're being attacked by things, whether the enemy is absolute sin, right? The sin that is grabbing a hold of us. I mean, through Jesus Christ, we find redemption of that. The things that we are saying this is not right, Jesus is saying, I have the answer for that. I'm delivering you from the hand of our enemies, that we might serve God without fear, that we would do this in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. That this is what it is, that now we don't have a separation between God anymore. There's no great gulf, that we actually get to be able to enter into God's presence whenever we want. That as the Holy Spirit convicts, we don't all of a sudden have to figure out what sort of animal we're going to sacrifice. No, we go straight to God because of Jesus Christ and go, would you help me with this? I don't understand it. I don't get it. This fear is gripping me. These emotions are taking me. I need you. There are some of us that still haven't done that, right? We still want to hold on to what's ours. We still want to hold on to everything we can control. And through this, through the reading of the scriptures and through understanding the redemption of Christ, we need to at some point go, here I am, just like in the video, here I am with arms wide open. I don't have anything else. Help me. But that's not where the Holy Spirit leaves us. As the Holy Spirit is sharing the gospel with us, the third and final thing of Zechariah's prophecy is that the Holy Spirit reveals to us the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness that God has already been doing this the whole entire time, that this what is his plan. To send Jesus Christ, to allow us to have a relationship with him, allow us to walk with him. And as the Holy Spirit reveals his faithfulness, we find it in 76 and 79. Because he starts right away, Zechariah, talking about his son. And you, John the Baptist, will be called the prophet of the Most High. You will be continually pointing towards him because God has got this already figured out. For you will go before him, before the Lord, to prepare his ways. You will give knowledge, just like the scriptures have been giving knowledge, of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The faithfulness of God is he just doesn't leave us. He continually points and goes, here's how to do it. Here's the knowledge that you need. Here's the forgiveness that you need. And I will be your hope. I will be your sunrise. And I'm going to give light in the darkness. When you need it, I'm going to be there so that I can continue to guide and direct you. So great, as I'm always probably going to put in my sermon notes, so what? And I'm always going to ask this, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and we're going to finish in worship the rest of the service, but you have to start asking your question, what is your response to the Holy Spirit? Do you simply just want to feel better about yourself and so you kind of go, hey, God, just maybe throw some scripture at me that makes me feel better about what's going on in my life so that I can have peace? Or are you asking him, hey, God, would you reveal scripture in my life in which my heart needs to be changed? And would you reveal the things that I'm having a really hard time with you, God? Would you reveal in scripture how I can do this. Or would you simply just speak to me? Maybe at some point in this, you're sitting there going, great, Seth, that's awesome. I still don't have Christ. How do I do that? Some of you still don't believe in the faithfulness of God, even though it's been shown over and over again. Brian and I talked about this week and the faithfulness of God. If you think about it, the faithfulness of God is right in Genesis chapter 1. The fact that all he has to do is breathe a word and it's there. The fact that when you came out of your mother's womb and you took the first breath, that was God's breath, not yours. That every single moment I'm breathing is a testament to the faithfulness of who God is. And so as we sing this morning, if you find yourself in the position of going, man, God, I'm harboring some maybe bitterness towards you, or God, I'm so confused about life right now, or God, I've never really heard your Holy Spirit, man, would you be honest with him as we sing these songs? And then for those of you who, man, have been amazing Christians since day one, would you be willing just to use this time and just go, God, your faithfulness has been phenomenal to me. But at least work a little bit as we worship by going, God, here's the questions that I need to lay down at your feet at your throne room.
The power of sin and darkness, whose love is light.
home with one last one. The praise is rising, and may I, our eyes turn to Jesus and turn inward also to the Holy Spirit that's speaking about this morning.
Praise is rising. Thank you.
on Wednesdays, as a staff, we get together and we go through some verses in the Bible together. Sometimes it's one, sometimes it's a few, and this is from this last week. Create in me, it's Psalm 51, verses 10, 11, and 12. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And I realized as we were kind of going through these verses that it said spirit in all three verses, but one of them said Holy Spirit. And so I was trying to be the smart pastor. And so I went to look at the root of those words, spirit. And I was assuming that the first two, since it said were our spirit, was a different word than the middle one that said Holy Spirit. That has to be a different root word to that. And they weren't. This spirit right here is God's. And it can be translated as breath, as wind, as life, and as spirit. And it's the same spirit that hovered over the waters before there was creation, before there was day and night. It's the same spirit that lives in us today. It's the same spirit that gave you life, as Seth said, when you were born. It's the same spirit that makes the roses grow. It's the same spirit that is why we exist, and it lives inside you. The real problem with humanity is that we're deaf to that, and we totally want to hear our own voice and what we hunger for and what satisfies us and what can please us. Listen, through the word, through friends, to that little voice that tugs at you, listen to the same spirit that created the universe. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. I could just stop there. In everything that's going on in this world, in the busyness and the loudness and the noise, Lord, may you be the loudest voice in our lives this week. We have hurricanes, we have fires, we have sports, we have tests, we have school, we have work, we have struggles, we have problems, we don't have enough time, we don't get enough sleep, we have medical issues, we have family issues, we have relationship issues, and all of those things, Lord, can take away from you, and I pray that we hear your voice. I pray that we feel your voice. I pray that we read your voice, and Lord, I pray that we share your voice. I pray that we obey your voice. Lord, open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds to what you want to do in our life. Lord, let us let you interrupt us. I pray that each one of us can grow closer and closer to you and closer to each other. Lord, I pray that your word is infectious and whoever's around us has no other option but to catch you and to feel you. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for worship and the ability to worship. We leave everything, all of our requests, the most level playing field there is, the foot of the cross. And all God's people said, amen.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side.